Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Luke chapter 12, covering verses 32 through 35, in this message titled, Your Light's Burning. Questions, comments, or prayer requests can be sent by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Letters, along with any check or money order contributions, can be sent to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also contact us or donate through the website at bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 35, titled, Your Light's Burning. This is part one of two. Current events update. Two headline reads. Actually, I added a third, so ignore that. Number one, California is on fire again. Have you noticed that? Seen that in the news? It's hard to see in the news because most of what you see in the news is hogwash, so you got to find some good resources to get your news. Dixie Fire is what they're calling this one. It's become the largest single wildfire in California history. Now, that's saying something. California's had some fires. And this was a report, I think, from actually Friday night or early Saturday I got this. The Dixie Fire, burning in two Northern California counties, is now the largest single wildfire in recorded state history, exploding in size overnight as drought-stricken lands continue to fuel the flames. The fire, which has burned for 23 days, now it's, I think, 25 days, actually, and forced mass evacuations, razed the Gold Rush town of Greenville. It's gone. That was on Thursday, destroying 91 buildings and damaging five others. Smoke from the blaze, this is what would kill me if we had these kind of fires here, is blown to lower parts of Northern California, including the state capital of Sacramento, where the air quality index on Friday reached unhealthy levels. We had that happen because of Canadian fires, and the smoke came down last week or week before, and it affected me, but this would put me in the hospital. And then there's the Grease Fire. That's a play on words, but it's a true story, Grease Fire. Dozens of fires were burning across the country Saturday in Greece. Blazes that one official described as a biblical catastrophe. And I mention these because people always ask, is that a sign of the, you know, the Bible doesn't say that there won't be big, huge forest fires before the coming of the Lord. Those have happened for 2,000 years. But it is a reminder that the whole planet is going to burn like California and Greece in a few years, I believe. Revelation 16, 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with what?
Fire.
I thought I had verse 9. Where happened to verse 9? I'm going to read it. I'm going to go over to Revelation 16, 9. Where is that? Because it says in verse 8, ends with the words, and fire. And verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat. And how did they respond? And blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Do you think they're repenting out in California and Greece? No, they're not. You remember when they had the big floods down in New Orleans? They had big sodomite bashes celebrating, even as their city was being destroyed. So, in other words, the mind of man and the heart of men is prepared for exactly what we're told is going to happen during the Great Tribulation, Daniel 70th week. As mainstream Christianity continues slouching toward Gomorrah, I got this ad sent to me about Carrie Underwood being featured on TBN. I think it was Friday night. And Underwood is being promoted as a role model to the under 25 crowd, prepping the younger generation for the Antichrist. You say, why is that? Because Carrie Underwood is an ally to Sodom. This was a headline, Carrie Underwood faces backlash after performance at evangelical event. This was 2017. Singer's appearance at Atlanta's Passion 2017 concert criticized by American Family Association because of Underwood's support of gay marriage. Carrie Underwood's surprise performance during an evangelical conference for young people at Atlanta's Georgia Dome on January 2nd has come under fire from the AFA. On the first day of the three-day event, marking its 20th year, Underwood took the stage with scheduled performer David Crowder to perform her hit, Something in the Water, a number one country song that also topped the Christian songs chart in 2014. The final generation of this dispensation is described as follows. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And Carrie Underwood's church, I think it's just outside Nashville, Tennessee, announced several years ago, they now do gay marriages, and they have sodomites in positions of leadership and teaching in her church. Now, I believe in freedom, folks, free country. She can do as she pleases. But for a Christian organization like this Giglio in Atlanta and TBN and people like that to promote someone who promotes Sodom, that's the problem. They have a right to do it too, but I also have a right to warn everybody that they're a bunch of fakes. And number three, COVID headlines are too many to discuss in our limited time. One headline, former Biden COVID advisor concedes that cloth masks are not very effective. You think? Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, responding to Francis Collins' call for people to start vaccinating children who have a 99.9% survival rate. Rand Paul says, what could be more authoritarian? Oh, this is about, I'm sorry, there's two things he was talking about. The other thing was they're trying to create a no-fly, you know, the no-fly list for terrorists. They want to add all of you unvaccinated people to it, if you're unvaccinated. And Rand Paul says, what could be more authoritarian than the no-fly list for people who disagree with you? The left is authoritarian. They want anybody who disagrees with them silenced, canceled, imprisoned, you name it, they want to do that to you. Fully vaccinated may transmit Delta just as easily. That's from the Public Health Department in England. And that's from Forbes magazine. Very few have reported on this in mainstream media. We could cover other headlines about the graphene oxide. You're supposed to get rid of paint if it has lead in it, but they want to inject graphene into you. Employer vaccine mandates. Violation of the Nuremberg Code should not be allowed in a free country. The upcoming school year, they're trying to mask all the kids and require vaccinations for kids and that sort of thing. And vaccine passports, etc. We could go on and on. I mean, it's a short list. In addition to the headlines, there's so much going on with COVID, you better have your eyes open with prayer using discernment, because they're coming after us big time. With that in mind, I do want to inform you of a vaccine workshop that's going to take place this next Sunday, August 15th in Hilliard, Ohio, from 1 p.m. to 4. A vaccine workshop called Medical Mandates and Reaction Reporting 101. Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom has partnered with Ohio law firms to host an event that will cover the vaccine exemptions for employees and students, as well as an overview of the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. Now, I believe you'll be able to watch this afterwards if you can't see it. You know, we're usually hanging around here after 1 p.m. on Sundays. But the website is ohioamf.org/events. OhioAMF stands for Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom. These are not anti-vaxxers. They are pro-freedom advocates. All right. Luke 12, 32 to 35. Where we left off last time. Luke 12, 32 to 35. Let your lights... Oh, I'm sorry. It just says, your light's burning. Your light's burning, taken from the text. I'm going to read the even verses with me, so jump right in there. I'm going to read verse 31 while you're turning there. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Amen. God's people say amen.
Amen.
Jesus has just told his followers to seek the kingdom of God. That is to be our priority. It's not the only thing you do. But even when you go to work in order to make money to pay your bills, and even when you do other things that don't necessarily seem directly related to the kingdom of God, if you're doing it in obedience to his word, if you're doing it to please God and to glorify God, then even then you are technically doing what you need to do to seek his kingdom. You are storing treasures in heaven. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, doesn't that sound nice? It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we talked about it last week. We ended our study with the fact that in order to see the kingdom of God, ye must be born again. And God wants us to be saved and receive his inheritance. But you have to approach God on his terms. You approach God on his terms, not our own. That's the difference between biblical Christianity and any religion. Religion, as the term is used today, now the Bible actually uses the term religion, and it can be used in a good way. Religion is basically, now that you're saved, how do you serve the Lord? That's religion. But outside of those who are saved, in a general sense of the world, religion is man's attempt to reach God. You'll never do it. God came down as a man in the person of Jesus Christ to reach you. Jesus died on a cross, God manifest in the flesh, to pay for your sins because you can't do it. Your works don't have anything to do with paying for your sins, don't have anything to do with you being saved. But because you're saved, now you know that really anything done in this life that's not done for Christ is really a waste of your time. This life is an opportunity for you to serve the Lord, and in doing so, you're storing up treasures in heaven. So a person who claims to be a Christian who is self-centered is a contradiction. A Christian who is saved and serving the Lord is about God and neighbor. You love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say love yourself. People, you'll hear people say this all the time. If they could just learn to love themselves. That's a lie. That's not Bible. What the Bible says, if you had just learned to die. You know that? The Bible says your problem isn't you don't love yourself. The problem is that's really what drives you. And people will say, well, they're hurting themselves. They're getting drunk or they're ODing or whatever. That may seem like a sick, twisted thing, but the fact is it's all because they're serving their flesh. because they put themselves first. They do those things. When they wrong other people and lie to other people or steal from other people, it's because they think that's what's best for them. But the Bible says you die to self, and now you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. All that energy you've been putting toward yourself, now put it this way. And it's an amazing thing that happens in your life when you do that. But also, you're storing up treasures in heaven for your inheritance in the kingdom as well. Jesus is speaking specifically to those standing in his presence as he says this, but the principle is true for all and it's repeated in Scripture. We have to point that out. It's always important to look at the text and say, who is Jesus talking to? We already talked about the fact how he's talking to his disciples in that day. But there's principle here for us that then we find repeated elsewhere in Scripture. And that's how you know how to interpret Jesus' words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If he's talking to those people right there in front of him, giving them specific directions, and we've given you several examples of this through the last 3 or 4 months, you also look, though, and say, well, wait a minute now, is this also something taught in principle in the epistles of Paul? And if so, then you receive it just like that. But there's times where, well, we're going to see one example here in a minute, but I want you to look over at 2 Peter. There's a passage there in verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We hear quoted a lot, but once in a while, you know, take some of these verses that are quoted and look at the context just to make sure you're getting it right. 2 Peter 3, beginning of verse 8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Now, if you're there, read verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see that? He's patient. He's long-suffering because he's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to receive the inheritance of the kingdom of God. Verse 10 then says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Now read verse 11 with me. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Go ahead and read 12. "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Twice, two, three times this chapter talks about how everything's going to burn. So putting all your time and effort into having a big bank account and a bigger house and a bigger car and a bigger this and a bigger that and more of this and more of that is a waste of your life. Because the very moment this life is over, eternity commences. If you reject Jesus Christ, you go to hell. You go to a lake of fire. Nothing you've accomplished in this life will matter to you one bit. The same's true about those of us who are saved. Only what we've done that is pleasing God and brings glory to Him will matter. And that does include how you work on the job. It includes how you shop, being a good steward and being honest, not being a klepto, not stealing stuff, not cheating the cashier. And when the cashier makes a mistake, correct it for her if you have to, or correct it for him if you have to. Living like that, everything you do can bring glory to God. Everything you do can please Him, and you can be really storing up some treasure. But if all you're about is this life, then you're going to slip something in your pocket once in a while. You're going to take that extra money the cashier gives you. You're just going to live for me, me, me. And it's all going to burn. What's important is that you repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what's important. God is willing that all be saved, but that decision is yours to make. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood and paid for the sins of the whole world. They're paid for. But that payment is only appropriated to those who receive it on his terms. See, there's a Christian universalism out there that's taking over. People say, well, Jesus died for all sins, therefore we're all saved. Well, then why did the apostles preach that you have to repent and believe the gospel to the point that the even 11 of them were murdered for it? It doesn't make any sense. It is true Jesus has paid the full price, but the appropriation. How many of you have seen every year they send out the emails for the state of Ohio? They've got billions of dollars in unclaimed tax refunds. It's there, but it will only be appropriated if you identify yourself and then they figure out exactly what's owed to you and they'll pay you. You see how that works? That's how the blood of Christ works. The payment's been made, but the fool doesn't cash in. The fool does not receive the free gift. Look at 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Verse 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Jesus was God in flesh, dying on the cross for your sins. And it says in verse 5, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That's verse 4, yes. And that is not saying he's gonna. That's how people interpret that. Oh, he's gonna have all men to be saved. No, it means who, being God, that's God our Savior, who will have all men. In other words, it's his will that all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's why I'm not your father. You don't go through a priest. You don't go into the confessional. You go through Jesus to the Father. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And who is that? Read verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So he's made the payment, a ransom for all. And he would have all to be saved. But each sinner must repent and believe the gospel. You must be born again. Again, how we ended the previous study. We're still there. If you're there, go to chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's up here on the screen if you miss what I said. Can you see that? Okay. I just want you to know that in case you... 4:10. Are you there?
Yes.
Very important verse. Read it with me. "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." You hear these nuts out there today saying, Jesus never claimed to be God. The Bible never claims that he was God. We've read it just in the last couple of minutes, three times. Look, the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Capital G on God, capital S on Savior, amen? That's Jesus. But look, that word specially, it's the same as the word specifically, of those that believe. So you have to come to God on his terms and be saved. So now we return to specific instructions that only apply to those in his presence back here in Luke 12. Understanding that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, but you have to come to him on his terms. And then Jesus says, "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth." Now, you have to remember, he hasn't gone to the cross yet. We're reading in Luke 12, he hasn't died on the cross yet. They're still under Mosaic law. So Jesus is dealing with them where they are and dealing with them to help them understand that this life is not where it's at. It's not in this life, it's in the kingdom where your focus ought to be. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Again, the principle is for all. even though these instructions are specific. Scripture is scripture again in Romans 12, 1 and 2. A lot of you probably know this by heart. It's a good couple of verses to memorize as memory verses. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But it's not just what you give to God, you're giving your body, but you also have to do this. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You present yourself as a living sacrifice, then that means you don't actually sell everything and, you know, don't have any possessions in this dispensation.